அர்ரஹீம் நஹ்மதுஹு வ நஸல்லி அலா ரசூலில் கரீம். அம்மா அல்ஹம்துலில்லாஹ், டனைட் இஸ் த 16th ஆஃப் ஃபெப்ருவரி இன் த இயர் 2019. அல்ஹம்துலில்லாஹ், வீவ் ஸ்பெண்ட் 5 நைட்ஸ் தஸ் ஃபார் டேக்கன் அ கிளிம்ஸ் இன் டு த awesome station of our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And yesterday I spent the session showing that it is forbidden to annoy our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if it is a permissible act. So inshallah today to talk about our beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but in extension also his noble brothers, and it's with regards to all of them being protected from falling into sin. In Sahih Muslim, our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha, she said, whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given a choice between two matters, he would choose the one which was easier, just as long as it was not a sin. If it was a sin, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be the furthest away from it. So in this flawless report in Sahih Muslim, our beloved mother mentioned radiyallahu anha that this was the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his normal pattern. He would always like ease. Anything which was ease, he would adopt that. But if it involved any sin, he would be the furthest away from it. So this Sahih Hadith is amongst those that prove that the holy prophets are sinless, alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is one of the proofs. Why? Because they're furthest away from sin, clearly mentioned by Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha. Consider also what our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala says about his beloved servant, the Holy Prophet Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. In Surah Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Surah 12 verse 24, it mentions, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. كَذَلِكَ لِنُصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. This we did to turn away from him su'a and fahsha. Verily, he alayhi salatu wa salam was amongst our chosen servants. So there's a reason I've left some of the critical words in the Arabic. So it mentions in this verse that we turned away from him, I Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, two things: su'a wal fahsha. Why? Because he was amongst the mukhlasin, the chosen servants. So what do these two phrases mean? Qadi thanaullah panipati rahmatullah alayhi and Mufti Shafi rahmatullah alayh both commented upon this holy verse, and they said, it was said as-su means saghira and al-fahsha means kabira. This is in Tafsir Mazhari, Ma'arif al-Quran, volume 5, page 63 of the English translation. So two of the great commentators of the Quran, Qadi Thanaullah Panipati rahmatullah alayh, who wrote a tafsir in honor of his sheikh, which he titled after his sheikh, Tafsir Mazhari, and in Ma'arif al-Quran, it mentions that as-su'ah. So in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we turned away from him su'ah. Because su'ah means saghira, means minor sin. And al-fahsha means kabira, i.e. major sin. So if you substitute the meaning, what is clearly mentioned in this holy verse about Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, we did turn away from him minor and major sins. He was amongst our chosen servants. Mufti Shafi pointed out something else here, rahmatullah alayhi, in Ma'arif al-Quran, volume 5, page 63 to 4 of the English translation. Noteworthy here is that in the Quran, the text mentions turning away evil and lewdness from Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. It did not say Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was turned away from evil and lewdness. So this is a fine point. If you look at the verse, what was being turned away from whom? Minor and major sins were turned away from Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. The wording is not Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was turned away from minor and major sins. Then Mufti Shafi said, the hint implied here is that Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was, because of his great station of prophethood, already removed from this sin as far as he was personally concerned. But evil and immodesty had encircled him. Thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala broke that trap apart. Thus these words of the Holy Quran are also a testimony proving that Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam did not succumb to even the minor most sin. And the thought which went across his heart, I mentioned in the same verse earlier, which will be mentioned inshallah, was not included in sin. Otherwise the relevant expression would have been, we saved Yusuf from sin, alayhi salatu wasalam, and not turned away from him evil and lewdness. So this is again very important clarification by Mufti Shafi rahmatullah alayhi. So if you break it down, it was the sin itself that was being turned away from Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So a person goes, well, isn't that the same thing whether you say Yusuf alayhi salam was taken away from the sin or no? There's a huge difference. Why? Because the first thing is he's protected, he's a prophet. But he was trapped. Zulaykha had set a trap for him, radiyallahu anhu. And Allah the Almighty himself broke it apart. But if you look at the full verse, just before what I've mentioned here in verse 24, it actually mentions something went through his heart. Have you understood? This is what the Mufti is mentioning here. Something went through Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's heart. What was that? And he said, this is not included in sin. Where's the proof that what went through his heart was not a sin? Because the verse does not say we turned away from him evil and lewdness. But it said we saved Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam from sin. So let's look at the earlier part of the verse. In Surah Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Surah 12 verse 24, the same verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا. And she certainly desired him, and he had desired her. This is the same verse. And she, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ. And she certainly desired him, وَهَمَّ بِهَا. And he had desired her. So a person goes, well, doesn't that prove that he had a desire to commit a sin? Mufti Shafi, he commented, rahmatullah alayh, in Ma'riful Quran, volume 5, page 61 to 2 of the English translation, Mufti Shafi, rahmatullah alayh, said, the word ham appearing in this verse has been attributed to both Zulaykha, radiyallahu anh, and Sayyidina Yusuf, alayhi salatu wasalam. So stopping the quote. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا. So it's clearly mentioned for both. Then Mufti Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said, but there is a huge difference between the ham or thought, i.e. intention of both. How? For Zulaykha radiyallahu anha is included under sin, whilst Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam has the status of a non-voluntary scruple which is not included under sin. I, but rather a virtue, as will be clarified. So he gave the answer first, Mufti Shafi. Because they both had some sort of desire. Zulaykha was intention to sin. But Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, it was a non-voluntary scruple, meaning he has nothing to do with sin. Then he explained, the descriptive style of the Holy Quran is itself a testimony to this. How? For had their ham or thought, i.e. intention, been identical, it would have been sufficient to say it in a dual form, such as, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّ That is, the two of them desired. However, the ham or thought, i.e. intention of both, was described separately from each other. Hammat bih wa hamma biha. And she certainly desired him, and he had desired her. So this is the first difference. Why has Allah the Almighty separated their desires, if it was the same thing? Therefore, he's clearly indicating that the desire is different here. Then Mufti Shafi said, Rahmatullah Ali, added to the ham, or thought intention of Zulaykha, radiyallahu anha, was the word of emphasis, laqad. Whilst with the ham or thought, i.e. intention of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, the emphasis of the letters lam and qad is not there. Why? For this informs us that through this particular expression, the purpose is to emphasize that the ham or thought of Zulaykha radiyallahu anha was of some other nature, whilst that of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam of some other nature. This is the problem. You got to look at the original words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ حَمَّتْ بِهِ. So who is he talking about there? Zulaykha. وَهَمَّ بِهَا. Now who is he talking about? Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So what do you notice? There's a huge word added to the desire of Zulaykha. Walaqad. Walaqad. Walaqad's not mentioned for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? Because laqad emphasizes that she was determined to do what she was intending. But when it came to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, lam and qaf is walaqad is not there. Why? Because the purpose is to emphasize that the thought of Zulaykha was of some other nature, whilst that of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was of another nature. So what was the hum of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? This hum, I fleeting thought, with absolutely no possibility of being executed, of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, is a virtue. Why? In Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if a servant intends to do a sin, then leaves it due to the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then write one good deed in his or her book of deeds in lieu of that sin. Famous hadith, part of the report. You intend to commit a sin, you don't do it. It's written as a good deed. Also, in another famous hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that one of the seven blessed groups who will be shaded under the glorious throne on the awesome day of resurrection would be a man who is tempted by a beautiful woman to sin, but he refuses. And he responds, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, it's a virtue for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. As Mufti Shafi concluded, Rahmatullah Ali, in Ma'riful Quran, volume 5, page 62 of the English translation, to sum up, it can be said that the thought or tilt generated in the heart of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was simply at the level of a non-voluntary scruple which is never included under sin. Then by acting against this scruple, his rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rose even higher. So now what does that tell you about the Quran? You look at the translation, God help you, man. No, I'm not joking. God help you. One translation says, they both desired each other. Did they? Where does it say that? Because Quran says it. Where does it say? Surah 12, verse 24. It doesn't say that. It clearly says, she certainly desired him. Walaqad, emphasis. But when it says about Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, wa hamma biha, and he had desired her, meaning it was a non-scrupulous thought. But look how beautiful, in the very same verse, you have to go to the next verse, in the very same verse, Allah the Almighty explains why or how he was protected. كَذَٰلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ. We did turn away from him minor and major sins. إنه من عبادنا المخلصين. He was amongst our chosen servants. So this one beautiful verse, Surah 12, verse 24, explains the maqam of a prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. And the irony is, the same verse could be totally misunderstood. They would actually use that verse to indicate, look, prophets do have, you know, desires, and they will commit sin. The answer is no. Then what was that ham? The Quran mentions a ham. It means that the fleeting thought. Human beings get fleeting thoughts. For example, there's a famous hadith where our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the human beings can be put into four categories. I'm paraphrasing. It's in Tirmidhi, Sahih hadith. The best is the one who's got knowledge and he's got wealth. He uses the wealth to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the best. The second has got knowledge, but he hasn't got wealth. But then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but he has intention. If he had wealth, he would use it as the first category. The Prophet said, he is like the first. Now what does that mean? He's not spent a single penny. He hasn't got the wealth. But he's got a determined intention in his heart, not a fleeting thought. The determined intention is rewardable. Think about that. He's not spent a penny, but Allah knows. But then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there's a third category. He's got wealth, he hasn't got knowledge. And he's destroying himself. And then there's a fourth. He hasn't got knowledge or wealth, but he has a determined intention. If I had wealth, I would be like the third. Because he's just like the third, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So what does that hadith indicate? You are accountable for your intention if you are determined. But if it's a fleeting thought, you know, this is human nature. You see a beautiful woman and there's a split second you have a thought. But then now the question is this. If you could do it and you would do it, you're accountable. But if you would never do it, it's just a thought that went through your head and you go against it, you'll get rewarded for that. That is what happened to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. The proof is Allah Ta'ala separated the ham. He emphasized the ham of Zulaykha wa laqad, meaning she was determined to go ahead with it. When he talked about Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, none of that. He would have desired her, meaning there was a fleeting thought. This increases. And then read the verse. Allah Ta'ala says, we protected him. We kept him away from minor and major sin. He was a chosen servant. Subhanallah. Consider also the amazing words of the Holy Prophet Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, who was later now being called to the same sin. But this time, by many of the eminent female dignitaries. What was his amazing response? In Surah Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Surah 12 verse 32, he says, أَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّا مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ. Oh my Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, prison is more beloved to me than what these women invite me to. Subhanallah. Oh my Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, prison is more beloved to me than what these women invite me to. Can a normal human being utter that statement? And if he does, he's lying. Imagine, you said to a person, couple of huris are desiring you. Is prison more beloved to you than fulfilling your carnal desire? Can you say yes, hand on heart? Right? You say, brother, you're saying it. I'm telling you straight. You must be lying. A prophet of God said, imagine, eminent female dignitaries trying to seduce him. And he said, prison is more beloved to me. Why did he say that? Because he's not a normal human being. And as is but obvious, think about that. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said similar words. I would rather be thrown from the highest heaven to the earth than to go near the same crime, i.e. to go to a woman that's unlawful to me. This is the ma'asumiyat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So think about that. Sin to them is something which is alien to them. You understand? They get the fleeting thoughts, but that's it. They get rewarded for it because they don't intend to go any further with it. But why? Why is Allah Ta'ala given that maqam? Because even if you use your frail intellect, if a Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam were to fall into sin, then his ummah would have to follow him in that sin. Hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the holy prophets from disobedience. Alayhi salatu wasalam, they never sinned ever or disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but followed each and every one of his holy commands. The eternal peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon all his beloved messengers and prophets. Ameen. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Now why should we be so grateful for this knowledge? Because look what the people of the book did to their prophets. Think about that. This is why they got no veneration for them. They're just decent people. You can't blame them for that. Why? Because look at the Bible. Old Testament, New Testament. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam got drunk and he slept with his daughters. One major sin, got drunk. Then he committed incest. Bible says that. So no matter what you talk about Nuh, nah, they're going to think, what's the big deal? Do we believe that? They should be so grateful that we have brought back the purity of the deen. Look what they said about Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. The same crime. He goes, his daughters somehow managed to get him drunk. And then, a'udhu billah, he committed incest. And they got pregnant with their father's incest. And they were blessed with children. If we did not have the Quran or Sunnah, what veneration would we have for the prophets? Alayhi salatu wasalam. It says in the Bible about Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, a wild ass of a man. Bible says it. Old Testament. Wild ass of a man. Right? It says, and it goes on and on. Now why is this critical? Because this is a fundamental of our deen. It's not talking about hijab. You're not talking about leather socks. You're telling the people of the book, this is a fundamental. Now why is that very important in particular for the Christians? Because the Christians, they only say one is ma'asum, Jesus Christ. He was the one who never sinned. And then you could see the veneration, because now they've actually given the Prophet his due. But they've gone to the other extreme. He goes, the only one, the perfect sacrifice. The only one who was unblemished. So our response to that is, stop, we don't need to talk about the crucifixion. You say, hang on, what do you mean the only one? Because he's the only one. So have the Muslims got this across to them? There's actually 124,000 of them who were unblemished. And believe it or not, when he went to talk to our Christian brethren, I highlighted that to one of them. And you should have seen his expression. The next week we went, or a fortnight later, he actually came back and he probed me on this. He goes, not all of you believe this, that the prophets are sinless. And I found that fascinating. And then he explained, because he looked, obviously, he googled it. But where's the tragedy in that? He got polluted Islam. He goes, not all of you believe the prophets are sinless. What he meant by that was, that some Muslims to this day, they believe prophets can commit sin. Now, either that takes you out of Islam, or you're on the verge of it. But the tragedy for me was, how am I going to explain this to the Christian? But the fact that it shook him, why? Because he thought to himself, if Christ isn't the only sinless Islam, there's 124,000. And he actually did his, but then he thought, oh, they don't all believe that. But we do. Google's not your source. The prophets are sinless, ma'asum, perfect human beings. Allah Ta'ala keeps sin away from them. Look at the beautiful watch Allah Ta'ala has over them. And if they get trapped, he comes to their help. What was the help of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? The doors were locked and she was seducing him. And what he did was, he ran towards the door. Why would you run towards a door that's locked? That's foolishness. But the Quran says the door opened. Who opened the door? Allah Ta'ala is looking after them. And then they came face to face with the Sayyid, i.e. the Aziz, radiyallahu anhu. And straight away, Zulaykha switched it. He goes, what would you say about a servant who tried to seduce your wife? And look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. She ripped his shirt from the back because he was running towards the door. So the man with Aziz radiyallahu, he said, look, if she's telling the truth, her shirt will be ripped from the back because she'll be trying to get to the exit. If Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is telling the truth, his shirt will be ripped from the back. Whose shirt was ripped? Right? And also the Quran says there was a witness to this, spoke out, it was a child. Tabarani Hassan Hadith, because Yusuf is innocent. A child spoke in his defense, alayhi salatu wasalam. Another report says he saw Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, he saw his father. And he had his fingers on his lips, saying, don't go near it. What was all this? This is what the Quran is saying. We kept away from him, minder and majors. Allah Ta'ala was helping him, alayhi salatu wasalam. But just to add this, to conclude, some brothers went to a talk, I'll mention it. And guess what the talk was about? Obviously, I don't know what the talk was about, but they came back and it goes, the Sheikh mentioned that Yusuf alayhi salam intended to commit a sin. And the discussion, then the brothers start saying, I go, hang on a minute, what do you mean he had an intention to commit a sin? You don't know, he goes, the Quran says it. And they quoted this verse. He goes, what does it say? He goes, the Quran says, she desired him and he desired her. Does the Quran say that? And what, from the life of me, I couldn't understand, why is this so-called scholar talking about that? Imagine, people have come, their iman's weak, they want to freshen their, strengthen their iman. You tell them that prophets can commit sin? Is that how you build people's iman? And you misquoted the Quran? And eventually, then there was an argument, then went to the relevant authorities, eventually the clarification was given. The verse says, she certainly desired him. وَلَقَدْ حَمَّتْ بِهِ. But when it comes to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, وَهَمَّ بِهَا. He would have desired her. Something was stopping him. Right? Completely different. It's praise of Yusuf, not a degradation of him, alayhi salatu wasalam. So note, when it comes to the holy prophets and messengers, they are sinless. But the beautiful thing the Quran says is that they are protected. How? By Allah the Almighty. Because Allah the Almighty says that he turned, we saved Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam from sin. Not we turned away from him evil and lewdness. Allah Ta'ala was showing he was a mukhlisin, he was a chosen servant, alayhi salatu wasalam. So all I talked about today was basically the ma'sumiyat of the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam. I focused on Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam because the Quran talks about this. And one verse of the Quran is enough. Surah 12 verse 24, look at the commentary of that verse and you will realize this maqam of the holy prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam. Subhanallah. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdi subhanaka allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal asri innal insana lafi khusr alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa tawasaw bil haqq wa tawasaw bis sabr. Sadaqallahu. Azza wa jalla.